North End and Kolel, on Tehillim chapter Yud Zayin, given by Gershon Hepner on the 24th of October 2010, corresponding to Tes Zayin, Mar Cheshvan, Tovshin Ayin Alas. I'd like to give the Shele Ilu Nishmas Reb Berish Lerner, Zichron Levracha, who's the outside is tonight. We all remember him. He came to the early Tehillim show. Do you remember, Lee? He came to the show. Reb Dov Berish Ben Reb Chaim Halevi. Okay. A man who oozed sweetness. Yeah? Okay. Let's go through the whole chapter first, just to get a general idea of the meaning, and then we'll go through it with the Mefarshim, and then we'll probably only manage Pasuk Aleph today. Tfilah leDavid, a prayer to David, Shema Hashem Tzedek, listen Hashem to what is righteous, Hakshiva Rinosi, listen to my song or to my cry, hazina tefilosi, listen to my prayer, belosis e mirmo, without lips of deceit or without lips of guile. Milfanecha mishpati yetze, my judgment should go out and away from before you. Einecha, your eyes, techezena meshoim, should see only that which is upright. Only look at the good part, only look at the good points within me. Bochanta libi, you have tested my heart. Pakadata, you examined, or been, yeah, the translation in the art school is you've been mindful, Lila, during the night. Tsuraftani, you have purified me, tested me. Yes, it's been like, yeah, what's the word?
To take out impurities.
Tzraftani, you have refined, exactly. Tzraftani, you have refined me. Valtimtsa, but you have not found good things within me. Zamosi, my wicked plans, Balya Avarpi, will no longer pass my lips. Lifulos Odom, for the work of man, I'd like, in other words, all my human activities, the philos adam bidvaras vasecho, will now be within the word of your lips. In other words, I'll do my best now to stick to anything I ever do now. I'll stick to whatever you want. Anishamati ochos parits, I've guarded myself from the ways of lawbreakers. In other words, I'm guarding myself from not going down their paths. Tomoch hashurai b'maglesecho, please support my steps within your circuits, in other words, within your domain. And in other words, I'll stick to the boundaries set by the Torah. Balma motu for moi, so that my footsteps will not slip. Anikra sicha, I've called you, kisa anini, because you answer me. Kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kat oznachali, turn your ear to me, shemaim rasi, and listen to what I say. Haflei chasodecha, make your kindnesses stand out. Moshiach chosim, you are the one who saves those who take protection or those who seek refuge. Mimis komimim biminecha, from those who stand up against you, against your right hand. So I'm one of these people who seeks refuge against within you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who seek refuge with you, against those who stand up against you to fight against your right hand. Or maybe it means I'll seek refuge in your right hand from those who stand up against you. Shameini ki'ishen bas'oyin, guard me like the pupil of the eye, betzel kanafecha tastireini, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Look after me. Mepnei Rishoyim Zu Shaduni, protect me from these two things can go together. So we go over Cheskei Shamini Kishem Asoyin, guard me like the apple of your eye or the pupil of your eye. Betzel Kanafecha Tastirini, protect me in the shadow of your wings. Mepnei Rishoyim, from Rishoyim Zu Shaduni, who have plundered me. Ovai benefesh yakifa loy, my enemies have surrounded me to try and seek my life, threaten my life. Chelbomo sogru, they are enclosed within their fat. Pimo dibru vegeus, their mouths speak haughtily. These are talking about enemies of Klal Yisrael speak haughtily. Asherenu ata suvavunu, they surround us, watching our steps. A mehem yoshisu lintes ba'aretz, and their eyes cast over us. They fixed their gaze. I'm reading the image from the art scroll. They fixed their gaze to spread over the land, over Eretz Yisrael. The enemies of Klal Yisrael are on the lookout to see if they can attack Eretz Yisrael. Dimyono, they resemble Ka'arie, like a lion. Yichsof Litrof, who desires to rip apart, to tear asunder, like a lion, rips his prey apart. The Chichafir, and like a lion cub, Yoshef Mistoim, who lives in hidden or in secret places. So the enemies are waiting to attack. Kuma Hashem, rise up Hashem, Kadma Fonov, you get there first against the enemies. Get to attack the enemies before they attack us. Hachriyehu, bring the enemy to his knees. Palta Nafshi, and save my life, Merosha, from the Rosha Charvecha, who is your sword. You send Rishoyim against us, and they are like your sword because they're sent to attack us. Well, you get them first. Mimisim Yodcha Hashem, it's far better to die by your hand, Hashem, rather than dying at the hands of the enemies. Mimisim Mecheled, far better as well to die from old age. Cheled literally means rust from old age. Chelkom Bachayim, those people who have their portion in life. Utsafuncha Tamale Vitnam, and you fill their insides with your hidden treasures. Yisbu Uvonim, they are satisfied with through their children. Vinichu Yisom Le'olaleim, and they leave over their wealth, their abundance, Le'olaleim, to their children, their babies. So that's a contrast with the Rishoyim. The tzaddikim, you fill them with good things, and then they have nachas in their children, and they can also leave over things to their children. Ani b'tzedek, I in righteousness, echazef anecha, I will see your face, esba'o, I will be satisfied, v'hokit, upon awakening, t'munasecha, by your form. So, there's the chapter, and as always at this stage, it's very hard to make out what on earth it's talking about. Yeah, that's it, go ahead, yeah. Oh. So, as a Hakdama to the chapter, we'll take the Hakdama as written here in the Art Scroll Hakdama, and also from, and which really comes from Rashi, namely that this chapter was recited by David HaMelech after the incident with Bathsheba. Oh, so let me quickly run through what happened with Bathsheba, quickly run through the storyline. I didn't write down where it comes, it is, it's in here, it's in Shmuel Base, chapter 11. Yeah. So what's the story of Bathsheba? In short, David was walking on the roof of his palace one evening, and he saw a woman at a distance, and she looked very, very beautiful, and he desired her, and he made inquiries and discovered she was married to... Oh my goodness, hang on a minute. Thank you. Uriah HaChiti, thank you. Yeah, Uriah HaChiti, yeah. And David took her as his wife, and there was a biyah between them, and she became pregnant. And then David called Uriah. The Uriah was out fighting for David's army at the time. Uriah was out in Rabbath Bnei Ammon, which is quite far north. It's just northeast of Eretz Yisrael. I think it's quite near Syria. Rabbath Bnei Ammon. And he was out fighting in David's army. He came home. It seems he came back on leave. I think David actually called him back. And David asked him to go back to his wife. David's plan was that Uriah should have relations with his wife so that when the child would be born, it would appear to be the son of Uriah. Uriah refused. And I can't remember why he refused. He suspected something, yeah, maybe. Uriah refused. That was then considered, he was therefore considered to be a Murid B'Malchus, he's disobeying the king, whereupon David engineered his death by sending him back into very dangerous battles and at the front line of battle, and Uriah would then die in battle, as indeed he did, after which David married Bathsheba. And the child was born, and the child died very young, within I think a few days. And she became pregnant again, and her second child was of course Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech was therefore...
The
child was not a mamzer.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a very important point. David received a big telling off for the whole thing from one of his rebbes, who is called Nosson HaNovi. And Nosson HaNovi told him off very strongly for having taken Bathsheba. The Abarbanel, in his Pirush on this chapter, absolutely lambasts David HaMelech for all of this. On a number of counts, for seeing her, and for desiring her, and for taking her, and she was already married, and then for engineering the death of Uriah, and the Abarbanel absolutely, I haven't seen it inside,
she was
a married woman. Now, I haven't seen this Abarbanel inside, but I've seen it quoted, and it absolutely lambasts the David HaMelech for this. Oh, morning. Pet your Zion. Yeah. So, now the... Now, what is very important is a comment from the Gemara. Anybody who says that David sinned by taking Bathsheba is mistaken. Why? And it's on a halachic technicality. Whenever David's army went out to battle, the practice was they always wrote a get for their wife before they went, and the get would be chal lemafreya, retroactively, should they not return from battle. So if they don't return from battle, then the get is it would automatically be valid. Now,
a conditional get.
But the point on the get is that the get, the point being that the get would be effective, limafreya, retroactively, from the day when they left the battle. So the point was that he had not yet come home. And David's plan was that David therefore sent him back into battle, so that he should die in battle, and therefore the get would be chal lemafreya. The get would therefore have been effective from the date that he set off to battle, and therefore she would have been retrospectively she would have been an almona from that time, and therefore relations with David would have been absolutely permitted. Now the whole halachic technicalities I'm really not entirely clear on, but the Gemara is absolutely crystal clear about it. Kala omer David chota or chote. Chotar, I think it is. Enuela, anybody who says that David sinned with this is mistaken. It was technically it was not an avera. It didn't look good.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
And because it didn't look good, therefore Nosson HaNovi gave David a big Mr. Joshua. He said, oh, 2 seconds, can you write here?
Crossing way around the north.
Exactly, yes, okay. But another important point is that David did teshuvah for this for the rest of his life. And there's a pasuk, and I can't remember where it is in Tehillim, v'chatosi negdi somid. My sin is opposite me all the time. He was constantly aware he had to live with this on his conscience, that what he had done was not wonderful.
Yeah.
And he did teshuvah for it constantly, and he was punished for it. Nosson HaNovi told him that from now on, David would be beset with difficulties from within his own family, and that punishment came about. That child, because she was pregnant, Bathsheba was pregnant, that child died. The next klala was, of course, the klala from within his own children with Amnon and Tamar. That was the next problem. And then Amnon lost his life to Avshalom, another son. And then Avshalom rebelled. So he had all these tzoros, and I may have even missed out some of the tzoros, non-stop tzoros, all from his own family as a punishment.
Although he did
teshuva, absolutely. And just 2 seconds before we comment on this, because it's a whole complicated story with David and Bathsheba, and that is, Rashi explains on our chapter in Tehillim that after the story of Bathsheba, David took fright. And what's he frightened about? He says, I've done this terrible deed with Bathsheba, therefore, as a punishment, Eretz Yisrael will be vulnerable, And the enemies of Klal Yisrael will now swarm in on Eretz Yisrael and could well defeat us. And this chapter of Tehillim is all about that. It's David's fear that the enemies of Klal Yisrael will attack and will succeed against Eretz Yisrael, all because of this avera with Bathsheba. So, for example, if you just take a look at Pasuk Gimel, Barchanta Libi, you've tested me, tested my heart, Barchanta Laila, you've checked me out, Laila at night, Tiraftani, you have refined me, Valtimsa, and you did not find goodness within me. Now the reference in Laila is a reference to the BR with Bathsheba. So hence the word Laila. And later on when he starts speaking about the enemies, Mipnei Rishon Zushaduni, which is Pasuk Des, and then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Asherenu Atos Sevavunu, they're following our footsteps, they're surrounding us, Enehem Yashisu Lintos Ba'ores, their eyes are gazed on Eretz Yisrael, waiting for the opportunity to attack. That's all about this, that they're waiting for the opportunity to attack because we're vulnerable. And why are we vulnerable? Because I did not act properly with Bathsheba. So that's the chapter in a nutshell.
Now, on the question of Bathsheba, I read somewhere, and I don't know where, that David Melech asked for a test from Hashem. And Hashem said the test of Bathsheba, and he failed. Because he was so confident that he was who he was. He asked for his test to show his immunity in Hashem.
So he failed the test.
He did fail the test, and indeed he should never have asked for it. And the pasuk you're referring to is brought in our chapter by Rashi, and it's in Tehillim chapter Kavvov. I'll just show you, Kavvov, where he says, pasuk beis, chapter Kavvov, pasuk beis, b'chaneni Hashem, please test me, v'naseni, another expression, and test me. And I will pass the test. The point, Rashi on our chapter brings it that David HaMelech questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that when we daven, we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, what about me? Why not say Elokei David? Very strange question. Very strange. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, Avraham was tested with 10 tests. Just yesterday we had the 10th one, the Akedah. Yeah, so I think David's question was, why Elokei Avraham and not Elokei David? To which Hashem replied, well, I tested Avraham 10 times. Whereupon David said, okay, test me. And that's that pasuk in Tehillim Kavvav, pasuk base, Bechaneni, test me, Venaseni, test me. And it was wrong to ask for a test because we don't ask for tests. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right, you want a test? I'll give you a test. And it was this one of Bathsheba, which indeed he failed. Yeah? But he did teshuva all the time for it. And of course, the big kasha against David is, well, what about...
Did he realize it was a test?
I don't know. Did he realize at the time he was being tested? I don't know. But the point being, he asked for the test, he failed the test, he did teshuva for it, but what is really important is not to lose sight of the fact that what he did was not an avera of zinus, because halachically she was already divorced.
But there's two ways of looking at this, and the way which we surely must exclude is the possibility that David HaMelech was a Baal Gaiva, because that's what one could think by listening to this discussion, that he's asked for but Hashem chose David HaMelech out of all the people to be king of Israel. And I remember that he was the youngest of the family, wasn't he? And they thought that all his brothers would be, his father thought that the Navi was coming to ask his brothers, and couldn't believe it. So Hashem chose David HaMelech because of his qualities, because of his midas. So how can we think about this in a good way? It must be that maybe there's a source to tell us that actually David HaMelech didn't want the test to prove what an amazing fellow he was. He maybe wanted the test to help him improve as a tzaddik.
For sure he wanted to show that he could improve as a tzaddik, absolutely. I think the whole story of Bathsheba is a perplexing one, especially as, don't forget, the melucha was continued through Bathsheba's son Shlomo, and Melech HaMashiach is a descendant from that. So it's strange, it's odd. Do I understand it? Of course not. It's difficult. It's a difficult parasha to understand. But this chapter is written as a tefillah after that event to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect Eretz Yisrael despite the fact that he didn't behave well with Bathsheba.
My other question is, this big divorce of somebody going out to battle is as they are sent, or is it if they don't come back?
It's definitely a conditional. It was conditional if they don't come back. If they don't come back to the wife, well, he didn't come back to his wife.
He did.
He came, and I know that's a bit of a kasha. Yeah, I have that as a kasha. That I don't know the answer to that. He told him to go back to his wife. So had he gone back to his wife? Yeah, had he gone back to his wife, then he wouldn't have been. Then the marriage still would have been.
He told him to go back to his wife.
Yeah. If he would have gone back to his wife, then indeed that would have strengthened the marriage, then the get would not have worked, in which case, again, retrospectively, that relation, that biyah that David had would have been a biyah nust. So it's very odd.
And a mamzer would have been.
The child would have been a mamzer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand.
That's what we're saying. It didn't reflect well on him. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Don't have told to go back to Bathsheba to do a Nevera.
Why?
Because he had always been with this woman.
Yeah, and it would have been. Yeah, that's another kasha. Well, I don't know the answer. Yeah. If she has beer with another man, she can't go back to her husband if she goes back willing. If it's a willing beer. Yeah, so I do not know the answer. Gosh, well, we're complicated. Yeah. It's, as you can see, you can probably learn the.
No, but he didn't
know. He could probably write a whole halacha sefer about this on Hilchus Ishus based on the story of what's going on.
Bashoge.
What was written? What was Bashoge?
Uriah with a wife would have been Bashoge.
Oh, for him. Ah,
because he didn't know.
He didn't know.
It's Bashoge.
Doesn't know.
But
a
dog
was telling him to do something he knew
it
would be in the
favor. Yeah. I don't know, yeah. Gosh, complicated. I do not know the answer. Let's do something easier that I can get with. Yeah. I don't know the answer. Very complicated. Okay. So let's go back to Pasuk Aleph and we can really let's see. Oh, Tefillah le David, a prayer to David, Shema Hashem Tzedek, listen Hashem to that which is righteous, Hakshiva Rinosi, listen to my cry, Ha'azina Sifilosi, give ear to my prayer, Belosise Mirmo, which I'm saying this prayer without lips of deceit. So this prayer is a genuine prayer. Okay, so the first thing to look at is the Art Scroll translation on this, on Shima Hashem Tzedek, listen Hashem to that which is righteous. My prayer now that I'm about to say is a prayer which is tzedek, a righteous prayer. So that was, this translation actually follows the Ibn Ezra and also follows the Meiri and many other Mefarshim. Tefillah David. That's just a headline. This is a prayer as said by David, and his introduction to the prayer is Shema Hashem Tzedek. Yeah. However, there's a bit of a question about this word tzedek. Where does that word tzedek belong? Now, the way we've just translated it is Shema Hashem, listen Hashem, tzedek, to the prayer which is righteous. Oh, some learn, let me get this right, yeah. Oh, so one minute. So either you could possibly join the word tzedek to Hashem. Listen Hashem, who is righteous, to what I'm about to say. Shema Hashem, tzedek, listen Hashem, as you are righteous. The slight problem with that, I think it's printed in your Sfarim, that after the name of Hashem, there is a pesik. Oh, you got an estachto? Where?
After Hashem.
Yeah, you're talking about the vertical line?
Yeah,
that's it. There's a psik, it's called a psik. Yes, yeah, the psik, which it serves, it's like a messed up, it's a comma. Absolutely. So, in other words, the punctuation of the pasuk is Shema Hashem, listen, Hashem. Then there's this vertical line, which isn't printed in there, but it's a vertical line of psik, and therefore, and that separates the word Hashem from the word tzedek. So I'll tell you how the Targum translates it. The Targum...
Righteousness doesn't necessarily describe righteousness to himself.
But to join the word tzedek to Hashem is this problem, because you've got that comma in between, a pasuk in between the word Hashem and the word tzedek. Mm-hmm. Now the Targum learns this. I'll read that Targum. Salut son of David, a prayer to David. Kabel Hashem pegiasi. Listen Hashem to my prayer. With righteousness, or maybe better with tzedakah, with charity, atzis shabuchi, listen to my praise, tatzle udnoi udnoch litzlosi, and let your ear listen to my prayer, bidalosifavose nichla, without lips of God. The point being, that the Targum translates the word tzedek as joining it on to tzedek hakshiva rinosi. Listen to my cry with tzedakah. Bit tzedakah atzis shabuchi. That's how the Targum translates it. So he goes like this. So the Targum would punctuate the bottom like this. Turn over David, comma, shimo Hashem, listen Hashem, comma, tzedek hakshiva rinosi. Listen with tzedek, listen with charity to my cry, and then hazinas philosophy, and then below sisei mimra. That's how the Targum learns it. One other small point here, and that's some very interesting words here on shima, hakshiva, and ha'azina. Just to give you, it's just a bit of the grammatical breakdown. Shima is, they call it a polite imperative. The word is really Shema. And we know the word Shema. Shema, listen, is a command, it's an imperative. When you add a komot and hey at the end of an imperative, it makes, they call it a polite imperative. So Shim'o doesn't mean listen, it really means please listen. It's a polite way of asking. Hakshiva is a polite imperative based on hakshev. Listen. That this is Hakshiva, please listen, and Hazino would be Ha'azin, or maybe Ha'azin, maybe. Listen! And then, but you add the extra komots and hay at the end, and it makes it a polite imperative, please listen.
The extra
komots and hay at the end, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you have.
The other two words on.
Which other two?
The komots and hay at Hakshiva.
Yes, it does. Shimo, all of them. Shimo, Hakshiva and Hazina. All three of them are all polite imperatives. We actually had it yesterday, Sedra. Kacha, no, not in yesterday, Sedra. Nechlecha. Kacha egla mushaleshes. When Hashem commands Avram to, for the bris mila of Sodom. Is it kacha li egla mushaleshes? Let me get it. 1 second. Yeah. Kachali Engel Mishesh, this must be here. I can't find it. I won't find it in a hurry. Okay. Kacha, please take. Yeah, not kach. Kach would just mean take. But kacha, here we are. Kachali, here we are. It's in Lech Lecha, chapter 10, Vav Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Lav, Kachali Engel Mishesh. So kacha is please take. Kach would be take. Kacho, please take. Okay? Yeah, so they're just polite imperatives. Just to point out how these words, what these words mean. Okay. Right. The Ibn Ezra learns that the word tzedek goes together with Shimo Hashem. So he learns Shimo Hashem tzedek. The Mi'ri learns that this is Shimo Hashem tzedek. Please listen to my tefillah, which is a righteous tefillah. That's how he learns it. And then he says, Yeah, I will speak righteously. That's the point. Then, then he points out this. The Ibn Ezra points out that you have here a contrast between Hakshiva Rinosi and Ha'azina Sifilosi. Now, the word Rino means a loud noise, shouting. In fact, this is extended by the Radak, who explains, let me get the Radak, where's the Radak? The Radak who points out that the word Rino has a number of different meanings, And it can sometimes mean, here we are, the Razak learns, it can mean all different things. It can either mean a cry, or it can mean a song, or it can mean an announcement, or it can mean prayer. So you can tell your granddaughter, Rina, now you know what it means. In her case, it would be laughing. Or it can mean crying, it says as well. Yeah, the Radak defines this word, Rina. Going to be sure.
Shrieking,
yeah, yeah. It's nice to know she's normal. Oh, so the word Rina, the Radak's translation is either tsa'oka, an outburst, or shira, a song, or hachraza, an announcement, or tefillah, prayer, or bechi, crying. It can mean any of them. But the point is, it's a loud noise. The Ibn Ezra comments on that it's therefore in contrast with the word sifilosi, my prayer. Hakshiva rinosi, listen to my loud noise, and ha'azino, give ear, sifilosi, to my quiet prayer. And that goes very well with the verbs, because hakshiva means to listen, and ha'azino also means to listen. But ha'azino comes from the word ozen, an ear. That means put your ear right up close, because I'm speaking quietly. Ha'azina sifilosi. And that's commented on by many other mafreshim as well. Ha'azina sifilosi. Give ear, because the tefillah is quiet, and therefore you put your ear closely to it. That's ha'azina. While the word rina is a loud expression. The Masudas David explains, Shimo Hashem Tzedek, listen to my prayer in righteousness. And he says, this is a prayer which is said with proper kavono, and it's not said with sisse mirmo, not said with lips of deceit. In other words, davening without kavono. It's not davening without kavono, it's davening with kavono. Yeah? And that's Shimo Hashem Tzedek, listen to a prayer which is said in righteousness.
Being sincere.
Thank you, sincerity. Yeah. That was the word I should have said. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, correct. Now let me point out to you some amazing Medrashim. Let's start with the Medrashim, and it says in my notes here, Medrash in the Green Sefer. The Green Sefer, which is it's a collection of Medrashim called Otsa Medrashim. And now let's see. The first one is, here we are. Yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David says, I'd like you please listen to my tefillah. Why do I want you to listen to my tefillah? Because there's a pasuk, and the pasuk's in Vayikra, chapter Dalet, pasuk Kaf Beis, Asher Nosi Yecheto. Asher Nosi Yecheto. The pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, Eliezer's bar mitzvah, etc. The pasuk in Parshas Vayikra speak about all different types of korban chatos. Depending on who has done the chait, there's a different type of korban chatos, whether it's the Nosi, or an ordinary man of the street, or a Kohen Gadol, and so on. I don't remember all the details. If a Nosi needs to be in korban chatos, his korban chatos is a billy goat. It's a billy goat. Now the pasuk there says, Hashem Nosi Yecheto. And what happens at Hashem Nosi Yecheto? He has to bring this korban chatos. David turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you see the Nosi, who rules over a Nosi? No one. He's top of the tree. Mm. Says David, I'm a melech. I'm also top of the tree. So in the same way, though, if a Nosi does a chait, he's got to bring his korban chatos and he has to deal directly with you because there's no other person in between. So too, I'm a melech, I'm going to deal directly with you, and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, you listen to my tefillah, and you forgive me for my aveiros. Which actually links in with the next pasuk, which is a quick little pasuk base, Milfonecha Mishpati Yetzei, from before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my judgment should go out and away, my judgment really should be, the case should be thrown out of court. He's asking, please throw away my case. Milfonecha Mishpati Yetzei, but it's the point being it's Milfonecha, it's in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because like a Nosi has no one interposing between him and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, likewise there's no one interposing between me and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Which bit of the Pasuk is wondering the market here? Why what's the destination? What's
I'm not with you, sorry.
Which bit needs the explanation?
As a matter of fact, it's interesting. This medrash is printed here in this sefer on Pasuk Aleph. The truth is, I really should have saved it for next week, because it's more on Pasuk Beis, on that first word, Milfonecho. my judgment is before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are the one to deal with me, no one else. Like a Nossi can only deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should only deal with you. It's really on Pasuk Beis. It's more personal, really, to Pasuk Beis. Maybe I shouldn't have said it. I should have left it to next week. Anyway, so we saved 3 minutes for next week's share. Right. Okay. The next Medrash says that David begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm davening to you below Sisei Mirma without lips of guile. In other words, my tefillah is absolutely genuine and I'm davening with kavono. And David davened that if a person does teshuva, it turns HaKadosh Baruch says, if a person does teshuva, however bad a person he is, please accept his teshuva. And even more than his bichadish, even if his teshuva is not absolutely genuine, please accept his teshuva. An example that David gives is Menashe. Now Menashe was a descendant of David. Menashe Melech Yehuda. He was a terrible Ovid of Avirizorah, and he introduced Avirizorah. Menashe, who was the son of Chizkiah, several generations after David. Yeah, a number of generations after David, Menashe ben Chizkiah. Terrible Ovid of Avirizorah. He actually ruled, as far as I know, he ruled the longest. He ruled for 55 years. Longer than any other king. I'll just check that out. Yes, longer than any other king. That's the half time he did teshuva. So David, yes, absolutely, he did teshuva. His avarice were terrible, but then he did teshuva. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, so David says, Menashe. Yeah, Menashe. So David turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, please accept even the teshuva of Menashe, who was so evil.
He led other people astray.
And he made others do teshuva. He was not forgiven. It's machlokes in the Gemara, I believe, whether he got Olam Haba or not. I believe it's machlokes in the Gemara in Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin.
If you lead others astray, then your teshuva is not accepted.
Teshuva is not so simple anymore. Yeah. But David here davened. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's machlokes. But David here asked for even Menashe's teshuva to be accepted, and even if the teshuva would be done b'mirma, i.e., not 100% teshuva, and the tefillos are not 100%, please accept it nonetheless. And he says, after all, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you just wait eagerly for Rosh Hashanah to do teshuva, so please accept it.
Is it Rosh Hashanah of David the Melech that he saw that his descendants would be like this?
It seems like it. Yes. Seems he was aware from this, based on this magic, he was aware of that future child. Future. Yeah.
Something else will be inherited from his. It's a general prayer.
Yeah.
Any of my descendants who do anything wrong, but he wasn't the only one. The other king of Israel also
sinful. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
In fact, you could say that this Aveiro was the prototype for all the Aveiros of the kings of Israel, and ended up with the destruction of the temple on both occasions, because it continued doing
the different sort of Aveiro David did to what other kings did.
The
different type of Aveiro.
He was the first
Aveiro
of the king of Israel.
Yeah.
And so, because of the first Aveiro, he was praying now for teshuva for his descendants, because he saw, because of this Aveira, was going to be the prototype leading to the other Aveiras all the way down the line, and therefore seeing it finally for the destruction of the temple.
Do you think forgive all the other Aveiras of succeeding kings?
Of anyone. Good, let me pose an interesting shaila to you, halachic shaila. Shine about Rosh Hashanah. When Rosh Hashanah comes, we blow shofar. Big mitzvah of the day, you've got to blow shofar. Yet, we don't do it as early as you would expect in the day. The main tikkias are done during Musaf. As we know, we blow together Malchus, Zichronis, and Shofaris. That's when we blow shofar. Why is it that we leave shofar blowing until very, very late? Surely, it's the big mitzvah of the day. Should we sort of wake up in the morning, come to shul, say Birchas HaTorah, and then blow shofar? And then doesn't.
The reason Makdimim limits for
the reason Makdimim says we should do that, surely we should do it straight away. That's a kasha. It's not my kasha, it's the Yerushalmi's kasha. Have a look in the Yerushalmi, you'll see it's in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet Halacha Ches, where the Mishnah there says very clearly that shofar is blown during Musaf. The way the Mishnah puts it is Hashemi Maskia, the second Baal Tefillah is the one who triggers the Tekiya shofar. Second one would be the one for Musaf. The first one is on Shachris, second one is the one for Musaf. So the Gemara says, well, why is it? Why do we wait until Musaf to blow shofar? Surely we should do it much earlier, maybe in Shachris or even before Shachris. So the Gemara brings an answer, Yerushalmi here, brings an answer from Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who tells a tragic story of one occasion when they did blow shofar very early, and I don't know what period of history this was, and the enemies of Klal Yisrael heard the shofar blowing and jumped to the wrong conclusion. Oh, shofar is a military instrument, so the Jews are planning a rebellion. So we better quash the rebellion straight away. And they came, and there was a mass destruction of many people. Many people were killed. And the Gemara says, "Va'omdu aleihem," the enemies came along and they stood over Klal Yisrael, v'harogum, and they killed them. That's the first opinion in the Gemara as to why we don't do it in Shacharis. Whereas, if we've first gone through the process of davening Shacharis, and then we've leined, and then we blow shofar, so any enemies who might hear that will say, oh look, they've prayed, they've read from their Torah scroll, so this is part of the ritual. Yeah? They won't see it as a military call. So it's to avert any future disasters in a similar line. There is another answer given, which the Gemara brings there, which is brought by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the name of Rabbi Alexandri. And he says, we have a pasuk, and the pasuk is in Tehillim. And by some amazing fluke, it's chapter Yudzayin Pasuk Aleph, where the pasuk says, Tefillah leDavid, Shimo Hashem Tzedek. So the Gemara dashes the pasuk, Shimo Hashem Tzedek, listen Hashem to righteousness. What's that a reference to? Krishma. That's Krishma. Shimo is a Lashon of Shema. And the Korban Ha'idah on the Yerushalmi says as well, if you say Shema in time, then that's an act of righteousness. So Shema Hashem Tzedek is a reference to Krishma. Hakshiva Rinosi, listen to my Rina, listen to my song. What's that? Zurinun Torah. That's Kriyas HaTorah, which of course is sung. Hazinos Tefilosi, listen to my prayer. Zu Tefillah. That's a reference to Tefillah. That's a reference to Shacharis. Belusif se mirma, without lips of guile, zu musaf. That's a reference to davening musaf. Why is that musaf? Because when we daven musaf, it's not a deceitful act. It's not as though we've been schmoozing, we've been messing around, and then we say, right, let's daven musaf. No, we daven musaf having first daven shacharis, and then having leined. In other words, we've been doing good deeds. We've learned Torah through Kriyas HaTorah, and we've been doing good deeds. Now we've been doing good deeds. Now it's time to daven. So when we daven musaf, it's below sisse mirma. It's a genuine act of prayer, because we're davening musaf having first leined and davened, we've been doing good deeds. So below sisse mirma, zu musaf is a reference to musaf. Ma kisif basrei. What's written immediately after that? Pasuk base. Milfanecha mishpati yetze. My judgment should come out from before you. Judgment is what happens at the time of Tekiyah Shofar. So we want to blow shofar, we'll only prepare to blow shofar after we've gone through these preparatory processes of Shema and Shacharis and Kriyas HaTorah and Musaf. So our pasuk is a reference to all these prayers on Rosh Hashanah, followed by Milfanecha Mishpati Yetzei, our judgment should come out from before you, which we do through Tekiyah Shofar. That's the second opinion in the Gemara. And therefore we will...
It's the ending of the
bracha,
isn't it, of the shofar and the
musaf. That we should be remembered with rachamim.
Before you.
Shemei kol tzurach samei yisrael berachamim. Something like that?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
It's something like, sorry, I haven't got the master here.
I've got to sit here, so have a quick look.
But yeah. It's again, you used the word milfanecha.
Nothing.
Before the meta. For the meta.
Okay, let's
just
check
that. For the chauffeur.
Oh, that seems... We're in chauffeurs. Here's chauffeurs.
I'm talking about the conclusion of
the... Yeah, I've got it right here. I can't see the word mufanacha here. Ki atah shemea kol shofar mazin tzuruah ve'im der melach berachat Hashem shemea kol tzuruah samay yisrael berachamim. I can't see the word mufanacha there. Zechenes, take a look.
I think we say seven times.
I can't see it here, even at the end of Zechenes, I can't see it. Okay, so tell you, therefore we blow shofar milfanecha mishpati yetzei. My judgment should come out from before you is a reference to tekiah shofar, because Hashem judges us at the time of the tekiahs, and therefore we go through the preparatory processes as signaled in our pasuk of Shema Kriyas HaTorah. Shema, Amida, Kriyas HaTorah, and Musaf, and then there's Tekiah Shofar. There's a third opinion in the Gemara, which is brought by Rav Tachalifa Kisraya, Rav Tachalifa from Caesarea, from Kisraya, and he says, well, simply says there's a pasuk in the Torah. And the pasuk's in Parshas Pinchas, and it's chapter Kaftes, and it's Pesukim Aleph, the base of Achodesh Hashvi. The carbon, carbon Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. V'chodesh Hashi v'chod, achodesh mikra, achodesh yelachem, kom lecha tzavid elo sasu, yom teruah yelachem, it's a day of teruah for you, so I blow shofar, and straight to it says, v'asisem ola l'rech mechach l'Hashem, to a carbon ola, which is the carbon Musaf. So from the juxtaposition of yom teruah yelachem, followed by, immediately by, the commandment to bring your carbon Musaf, so he explains, Rav Tachalifa explains, so therefore we have to blow the shofar at the time of Musaf, because they come together in the Torah, Yom Teruah followed by the Korban Musaf. So therefore we did them together. Yeah? That's how, that's the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, Pek Dalet Halacha Ches. Okay.
But in the Chumash it comes together, the Yom Teruah.
Yes, absolutely. The pasuk there, it's in Parshas Pinchas, chapter Kaftes, the beginning of chapter Kaftes. So, Yom Teruah Yelachem, followed immediately by the Sisem Ola, bring the Korban Ola, it's called Musaf. So therefore they've got to come together. So therefore we go shofar during Musaf. I should hasten to add, I found a story in the rather gorgeous children's booklet, except it's really for adults as well, brought out by my wonderful second cousin, Shmuley Freilich. He brings it out every year at the time of Rosh Hashanah. Every year he brings out a new booklet. It's beautiful, with stories, with nice pictures and Divrei Torah, primarily for children, but adults get a lot out of it as well. And I know that because that's what Rabbi Yochanan Halpern said, that it's really for adults, but if you're bringing it out for adults, everyone would be too embarrassed to read it. So he brings it out for children, and then the adults read it as well. He calls it Simchas HaChaim. He brings a story there which one was this? I can't remember which year he did this. Some years ago. A story of Rabbi Lozor Rokeach, who was on a ship just before Rosh Hashanah, and he was on the boat without a minion, apparently. And they set sail obviously quite a while before Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah night a terrible storm broke out, and so Rosh Hashanah, the ship was in terrible danger, and so Rosh Hashanah morning he said, let's blow shofar straight away, so at least we've done the mitzvah to kiyah shofar straight away. Yeah, let's get that mitzvah. He said, who knows how long we'll survive in this terrible storm? Let's at least have done the mitzvah to kiyah shofar. And as soon as dawn broke, he got his talmidim to look out and to tell him as soon as dawn had broken. And as soon as it was day, he blew shofar straight away. He blew 100 kolos straight away. Straight up 100 kolos on the shofar, and then the storm abated.
No.
This is Rabbi Lozor Rokeach. The Belz Rebbes are descended from him. Belz the name, yeah. So the Belz Rebbes come from that line. Yeah. And he points out at the end of the story that Rabbi Socha Dover Belz, whenever he would tell the story, he would emphasize that he wasn't trying to perform a nace by blowing shofar to make the storm broke. No, he blew shofar because he felt time was limited and how long would they survive in the storm. Let's at least do the mitzvah to kiss shofar straight away so we know we've done that mitzvah. And then a nace happened and the storm stopped. highly recommended. Yeah. So it's very nice, yeah. Oh, let's come on to the Medrash HaKatov, which is up here. Now, Medrash HaKatov. Yes. The Medrash HaKatov points out that we have in our Pasuk five expressions. Tefillah LaMoshe. Let me get this, right. Five expressions of prayer. Five expressions of prayer. Tefillah is number one. Shimo, number two. Hakshiva, number three. Hazina, number four. And below Sifte Mirma, number five. These five Lashonos are representation of our five Tefillahs on Yom HaKippurim. Starting with Maariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah. Okay, and David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, on the day of Yom Kippur, I cannot cope if you judge me, if your judgment of Yom Kippur takes place when I've merely davened Shacharis, or when I've merely said Shema, rather, That is the first expression, Tefillah, represents Maariv on Kol Nidre night. The second one, Shimo Hashem, Shimo represents Kriya Shema. So he says, if all I've said is Shema, I can't possibly expect you to judge me. I don't want you to judge me yet. I don't want you to judge me until after I've recited all five tefillahs. So we have these five expressions in Pasuk Aleph, followed by Milfanecha Mishpati Yetzir, beginning of Pasuk Beis. Now you can judge me. After my five tefillahs, now Pasuk Beis, Milfanecha Mishpati Yetzir, my judgment can come out from before you. That's how he lands it. That's hence the five expressions of Tefillah in Pasuk Aleph. The Medrash HaKatov goes on to say that these expressions were recited by David at different problems in his life, when he was facing different difficulties. He said, Shimo Hashem Tzedek. When did he say that? When he fought against Goliath. When he was facing Goliath, Shimo Hashem, he had to daven to Hashem for success against Goliath. Shimo Hashem Tzedek. Hakshiva Rinosi is when he ran away from Shaul and had to hide in a cave. And I'm not sure which occasion it was. It might be the one recorded in Shmuel Aleph chapter Kaf Beis, where he hid in a cave which is called Ma'oras Adulam, a cave of Adulam. Hazinos Filosi is when David found Shaul asleep in his Ma'agol, in his barricade. And he actually had an opportunity of killing Shaul, and he was there together with his own nephew Avishai ben Tzruiah. That's David had a sister called Tzruiah, and Avishai was one of her sons, so it's David's nephew. And Avishai and David found Shaul and Shaul's right hand man at the time, Avner, fast asleep, and they had an opportunity to kill Shaul. Shaul was after all trying to kill David. And Avishai turned to David and said, right, I can kill him for you now. And David said, no, don't touch him, he's the Mashiach Hashem. David wanted to prove to Shaul that he had had an opportunity to kill Shaul, but had not done so. So he took his spear and a jug of water. And then later on he was able to tell Shaul, although I think he actually told Avner, look, I've got Shaul's spear and I've got his jug of water, I could have killed him and I didn't kill him. No, I think it was another occasion. That was a different occasion. Yeah. And he said, I've got his spear and I've got his, what's it called? His jug. I could have killed him if I wanted to and I did not kill him. So therefore, you can see I mean no harm. That was David's message to Shaul. And that actually did lead to a brokerage of peace between them. And then the last one, below Sisi Mirmo, was when the Ziphim, a tribe called Ziphim, who came from a place called Ziph, they told Shaul where David was hiding. He was actually hiding in their territory called Ziph, and that's in Shmuel Aleph chapter Kaf Gimel. And it's on that occasion that David prayed again. And this last expression in our passage, below Sisi Mirmo, is the tefillah that he said at that time. Okay? So in other words, all these expressions were recited by David at different occasions, at different times of trouble. Oh, the Medrash HaKatov goes on to say, here we are. Let me get this right, page 43. Yeah, here we are. that these expressions in our pasuk refer to different tefillos of the day. So what is that? Tefillah leDavid, kisha adam kam mishanoso, when a person wakes up from his sleep, mispalel veomer, he should say baruch bechaye amesim, because sleep is a 60th form of death, yeah? So when you wake up in the morning, you say, Baruch Mechai Amesim. Well, we actually don't, but I think the equivalent that we do say is, Moda Ani Lefanecha. You've returned it to me, Bechemno, you've returned it to me with compassion, thank you. Rabbom and Asecha, express an immense emunah in you. And that's what we say. So that first expression of Tefillah LeDavid is parallel to Moda Ani. Shimo Hashem Tzedek is Krishma, Hazina Tefilosi is Shachris, Tefillah, Hakshiva Rinosi is Krita Torah, it's the singing of Rina, the singing of Krita Torah, and below Sisi Mirma is Musaf. Again, and why is it called, what's Musaf got to do with, we're davening without guile? Because we can prove that we're genuine, mispalalim. How are we genuine? Because we've just leaned and we've just davened Shachris. And we've leaned, we've been busy with tefillah and with ma'asim tovim, and therefore Musaf is called a tefillah without guile. Yeah.
I'm not trying to get off easy.
I'm genuinely being misunderstood. Absolutely, that's right. Oh, let's come on to some other midrashim, which are in this sefer. This is the gorgeous sefer on Tilim Midrashi Chazal, which Rabbi Sol Moshe Greenfeld, who's a colleague, a Rebbe, a colleague of mine in Pardes House, he gave me on one occasion, and it was, I helped him out in a very small way, and he gave me this enormous, fantastic sefer. He gave it to me without even knowing I was giving a Tilim Shir. So I'm really grateful to him. So, yeah, this is Rabbi Sol Moshe, he's a wonderful man. Now, here we are on page Kuftes, and it's on the left hand side, Tilulot Oni. Yeah, Rabbi Sol Moshe Greenfeld. He gives a share in Pardes House. Oh. Yeah. So he points out here that there's another chapter in Tehillim which begins with Tefillah La'oni, and that is Tefillah La'oni Chiyatif. It's Tehillim chapter Kuf Beis. Rav Pinchas says in the name of Rabbi Reuven that pasuk is also referring to David. Tefillah La'oni, a prayer said by the Oni. Who's this Oni? So Rabbi Pinchas, in the name of Rabbi Reuven, says it's a reference to David HaMelech. Rashi on that pasuk says that the word Oni is a general reference to Klal Yisrael. But this Medrash learns it's reference to David HaMelech. So he says, what's going on? In our chapter, David refers to himself by name, Tfilah LeDavid. And over there, he refers to himself as an Oni, as a poor man. So what is he? Is he David or is he an Oni? And why does he refer to himself using different things, using different references, either his name David or the word Oni? So he says, when David saw before him the tzaddikim who were due to come out from him, Kagon, Asa, Chizkiah, and Yoshiyahu, these are all later kings, Asa, Yoshiyahu, and Chizkiyahu, they were all tzaddikim. When he thought about those tzaddikim and he saw them, then he referred to himself as David. Of Shashu Roe Rashayim. When he saw that he was also going to sire future generations who would be Rashoim, exactly, Kagon, for example, Ochoz, Menashe, and Amon, all kings of Yehuda, all descendants from David, and they're all terrible Rashoim. When he thought about them, Hukera Atzmo Oni, then he referred to himself as a poor man. So he refers himself to David. As David sees it, thinking about the future generations with tzaddikim. There is another medrash is that Tefillah LeDavid Shema Hashem Tzedek Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chizkiyah. Oh, it's a small story here. Really a halacha. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chizkiyah were once walking together and they were on their way to visit Rabbi Shimon in a place called Kapotkiyah. I don't know where it is. And they were discussing a shayla. So Rabbi Chizkiyah asked a shayla. And he said, you know, we have a halacha that when a person davens, he's going to make requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we do in our daily Amidah. We request things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the halacha is that before you make your requests, you must first state praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we do. Hokel, HaGadol, HaGibah. We begin the Amidah with praises for Hashem, and then we follow it up later with our requests. So, Rabbi Chizkiyah asked a shayla to Rabbi Yossi, and he said, what would happen if a person, he can't concentrate, and he can't formulate any praises for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should he still go ahead and make his requests, or is it absolutely axiomatic to his prayer that he must begin the tefillahs, begin his requests with praise? And Rabbi Yossi answered to Rabbi Chezkiah, and he said, no, we learned from our pasuk that you must begin with praise. And if you can't begin with praise, then don't make the requests either. How do we know it? Because it says, Shema Hashem Tzedek. Listen, Hashem, who is righteous. So according to this pshat, the word Tzedek does go together with the Shem Hashem, even though we saw there's that psik separating between the word Hashem and the word Tzedek. According to this medrash, the Tzedek is an adjective of Hashem. Listen, Hashem, who is righteous. So he begins, there's the praise, and then David makes his request. But he begins it always with the praise. And the another medrash from here is from Reb Chizkiah. Listen to this. It's a beautiful, beautiful medrash here from Reb Chizkiah. It's a Zohar, really. It's a Zohar and Parshas Metzora. That previous one that I just said came from saying your praises before you make a request is from a Zohar in Parshas Vayechi. Here we have a Zohar from Parshas Metzora, where it says, Kol milo o milo, this comes from Reb Chezkiah, Kol milo o milo titzulusa, every word of prayer, the apik baranash mipome that a person utters, salka le'elo o vaka o rikiyin, it goes upwards and it splits the heavens. It splits right through heavens. And it goes to a very, very high place. For someone, and there, in this very high place, is bachant hayi milo. That word is tested. When you recited that word of prayer, did you do it with proper kavanah or not? Whether it's a kosher word, is it a suitable word? You davened Hashem. How did that? What was that? What was the spirit of that word when he said it? If it's considered a suitable word, in other words, you said it, you davened kavanah, then alilo kamei malka kadisha. Then it goes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy King, to actually carry out what you asked for. Ve'ilav, and if it's not, if that davening was done and it's not considered kosher, in other words, you've done that kavana, satin lo levar, then that word is thrown out. And here's the surprise: the isar bahahi milo rucho achara, and another ruach, a ruach ro'o, whatever that means, some evil spirit or evil power is created from that word. So a person davens without kavanah.
You can always apply this, can't you?
If a person davens without kavanah, then bad forces are created from those words that were uttered without kavanah.
We're all human, come on, we know.
Yeah, for sure we know. Alright, that's a Zohar. Yeah.
Hide them on. The message is trying to have kavanah because there are consequences if you don't.
Not bad. Yeah, sure.
That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
It's like a warning.
Yeah.
It's a warning.
Of course, it's hard. It is. It's a demanding religion. We know that.
Something to aspire to.
Yeah. Correct. Something to aspire to. Yeah. Well said. Yeah.
So it might be better not to daven at all if you're going to daven without kavanah. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm not.
Ask a rabbi.
Yeah, don't know. He's going to say daven.
Okay. Now, let's...
Where's somebody going on from
this? Probably 15 minutes or 20 minutes maybe.
Really?
Yeah, could be. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah. Probably, just so we can, that way we'll absolutely finish this process.
Oh, right, okay.
You'll hear it, it'll go on the web.
Okay.
You can hear it then, right? Right. Do you want to carry on? Okay.
It's an inspiring message.
Yeah, it is.
Always back on with kavanah.
Yeah,
otherwise there are consequences.
Yeah, correct.
Right?
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Now, there's a very, very lovely sefer on Tehillim called Ni'im Zemiris Yisrael. It's many, many volumes, and it's put together, but it's a liquid. It's a collection of other devotees. It's brought by Rabbi Yitzchak Kirshtenkorn, who was a great chaver and friend of the Chazon Ish. So I brought along the biography of the Chazon Ish. There's a photograph of this Rabbi Yitzchak Kirshtenkorn. Lived in Bnei Brak, and he very much supported the Chazon Ish and got Bnei Brak to be the wonderful town that it is. So in his sefer, he quotes many other svarim, and he quotes a sefer called Tehillas Hashem, where he says that there are three conditions or three requirements to tefillah. Requirement number one is that one should give tzedakah before you daven. Number two is that you say shiras and tishbachos, praises to Hashem, and then comes the actual tefillah. So he says these are echoed in our pasuk because we have Shema Hashem Tzedek. Tzedek is an expression of tzedakah, give tzedakah, and that goes very well with the word Shema. And he quotes a pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim, chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Kaf Vav, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the oni, a poor person. It says Veshamati ki chanun v'hayach ki yitzak elai. It shall be if ever a poor person cries out to me, Veshamati, I will hear ki chanun onu, because I'm gracious. So we see Shmia is very much connected with tzedakah to a poor person. So Shema Hashem Tzedek is an expression of tzedakah and an expression of Shmia. So Hashem says, I'll listen to the poor person. Give tzedakah before you daven. Then you have Shiras and Tishbrachos, which we do with Pesukei Dezimra. And that's represented by the phrase Hakshiva Rinosi, Rina, listen to my song, my prayer, my song. Followed by the tefillah itself, which is Hazina Sfilosi, listen to my prayer. And again, he points out that Hazina Sfilosi, which is the Amidah, the Shemana Esrei, it goes with the word Hazina, because it's quiet. Hence the word Ozen, because you have to put your ear closely, because it's a prayer which is recited quietly. Then he asks a beautiful kasha. He says, why, and this kasha is also brought by the Al-Sheikh, you have a strange expression, Shema Hashem Tzedek, followed by Hakshiva Rino Si, listen to my Rino, Hazina Sifilo Si, listen to my prayer. Well, why not Shema Hashem Tzidko Si, or Tzidki, my righteousness? Yeah? Why just Tzedek? So he says, because it's a reference to Tzedakah, there's a principle that when a person gives tzedakah, he's not really giving of his own. And it's brought in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches, Rabbi Elazar ish bar Tosa Omer, ten lo mishelo. Give to him, give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that which is already his. I.e. give tzedakah. Why? Because it's already his. She'ata v'shaloch shelo. Because you and all that is yours is really his. So what you're giving, when you give tzedakah, you're not really giving anything of your own, you're really giving that which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. Therefore, it does not say, Shema Hashem Tzidkosi, my tzedakah, because it isn't mine to give in the first place. It really is all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he explains it. Otherwise, tzedek is not a direct parallel to Rinosi and to Filosi. That's in it, yeah? You understand? So therefore, don't say my tzedakah, because it's not yours. Yeah? You understand?
Well, it depends whether it's
Dovah Melech
Tzedakah or Hashem
Tzedakah. It's a reference that we should give Tzedakah before we daven.
Mm-hmm.
And I say here...
Not even my Tzedakah, not even Dovah Melech Tzedakah,
because
it belongs to Hashem.
Exactly, that's the point. That when we give Tzedakah, we are really giving money that has been designated for Tzedakah, and we are simply the manager of the fund. Yeah. But it's not really ours.
No,
that's the way to look at it. Managing the money that we then suffer, yeah. Yeah, then he quotes, then also in the Sefer Ne'im Zemiris Yisrael, he quotes a Sefer called Chozor Tzion, where he says that we have the three expressions of Shema Hashem Tzedek, second expression Hakshiva Rinosi, third expression Hazina Sfilosi, represent the three tefillahs that we daven every day, Shachris Mincha Maariv. And he says that Shema Hashem Tzedek and Hakshiva Rinosi, so once again, Shema Hashem Tzedek is reference to Shachris. It's a prayer that's said aloud. It's a prayer which is said with Chazoras Hashatz, which is done aloud. Hakshiva Rinosi is Mincha, which is also done with Chazoras Hashatz. Rino is aloud, a loud noise. While Ha'azino Sefilosi is Hazino, give ear, it's done quietly. That's Maariv, where there's no Chazar Sashat, and the only prayer is a prayer which is said silently. And therefore, that's a reference to Maariv. That's how he lands. Yes? Nice shot? Yeah? Oh. Then he quotes another Sefer, it's still in the Imzmiris as well, and this is a shot which will knock your eyes out. And he quotes it from a Sefer called Bris Avram. And the Sefer Bris Avram quotes it from another Sefer called Ahavas Olam. And it goes like this. First, he starts with the Kasha. It's very strange. David says, Shema Hashem Tzedek, listen to my prayer, which I'm saying with righteousness. That sounds a bit conceited. Yeah? And then he finishes the passage by saying, Belo Sisi Nimro, I'm saying this without lips of guile. Well, that sounds even more conceited. How can David say that of himself? I'm davening without lips of guile, without lips of deceit. Sounds very conceited. So he has a whole chiddush in this. And he says as follows. There's a Gemara in Krisus. It's on Daf Vav Amud Beis, which says, that points out that in the same way that the Ketores had 11 ingredients to it. And of the 11 ingredients, one of them is an ingredient called chelbana. Chelbana is evil smelling, yes. I don't know what chelbana is, but whatever it is, by itself it smells appalling. Yeah, by itself it's got an appalling smell. Let me find this. I'm just in a rush now. Of the 11 ingredients, one of them, chelbana, has a bad smell, and the Gemara says here that whenever there's a tarnis, sorry, I'd like to say it in the name of the Amir who says it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, here we are. Yes. Rav Shimon Chasida. No, Rav Chana Bar Bizna, in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida. Kol Tanis She'ini Bo Miposha Yisrael Eino Tanis. Whenever there's a Tanis Tibur, so people get together and they fast together and they're davening together. If they are not davening together with Posha Yisrael, sinners of Klal Yisrael, then that Tanis is not so valuable. Eino Tanis. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should all join together, tzaddikim, rashayim, amei ha'aretz, all together, join together as one force, and present your tarnis together as one force. Why? And he learns it from the Keteris. Shahari chelbana recha ra, because the chelbana smell was appalling. Umenot ha'kosav in some mnemonic Keteris, yet it's included in the Keteris. So the Keteris itself has got this wonderful scent, but one ingredient is bad. So we learn a lesson from that. When we daven, the tzibur, daven even together with the posha yisrael, even with sinners, and the tefillah is worth more now that you are being more inclusive and you're allowing posha yisrael to join in with your tefillah. Pardon? Im ha'avayonim. Yes, that occurs to me as well, yeah. Onim matim nisvalinim ha'avayonim. Now. Oh, I haven't told you yet. Oh. Now, the Keteres has a strong connection with the Keteres has a strong connection with Tefillah. Why? Because there's a Pasuk still in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Mem Aleph, let me find it, Kuf Mem Aleph, and it's Pasuk base. Yeah, here we are. Kuf Mem Aleph Pasuk base reads as follows. Oh, we echo this in Anu Zimiris. Tikkun Tefilosi Keteres Lepanecha. My prayer before you should be established like Keteres. So Tefillah is likened to Keteres. Now that we have in our pasuk Tefillah le David, Tefillah of David, he's saying, I now would love to be able to daven together with Posha Yisrael, with sinners, but I can't. Why can't I? Because I'm stuck out many years. He was on the run from Shaul, he was in the Midbar, he was away from a Kehillah, and he was away from other Rishayim. So he couldn't daven together with them. So he says, in our Pasuk, he says, Tefillah LeDavid, Shema Hashem Tzedek, please listen to my davening, Hakshiva Rinosi, Hazina Tefilosi, listen to my prayer, even though it is below Sifzei Mirmor, even though it's without the company of Rishoyim. I would love to daven together with Rishoyim, but I can't because I'm out in the desert and I'm on the run from Shaul. So for years I've been on the run and I've been davening without the company of lesser mortals. Nonetheless, please accept my tefillah. So Belusifli Mirmor is like saying, even though I have to daven without people who are Sifse Mirma, with people who might be deceitful or with lesser people, nevertheless, please accept my tefillah. That's how he learns it. And it's interesting because the connection to Keteres is very strong, because Rabbi Kupers, the friend of the Bracha, used to say to me that the word Keteres comes from the Aramaic root Kuf Tes Reish, and in Aramaic, the Aramaic Tes corresponds to the Hebrew Shin. So the word Keteres is an expression of kesher, a knot. And it's coming from this week's Sedra. At the end of Parshas Chayisara, Avram marries Keturah. And Rashi learns, why was she called Keturah? It was really Hagar, who after she had been sent away by Avram, she sewed herself up, she sewed up Osamokim, so that she couldn't have relations with any other man. And the name Keturah means Keshurah, tied. She had tied herself up so she couldn't have any relationship with any other man, waiting for the day she would be able to come back to Avram. And indeed she returns to Avram now with this new name, Keturah, Keshurah, because Keturah, Keteres is a Kesher, is a knot. So we can see that that the Keteres joins all these different ingredients together with one knot. Likewise, we want to join all Klal Yisrael together when we're done with the minyan, irrespective of their standing, everybody joins together as one kesher, as one knot.
How do we tie that with the Hagar who gets lost in the Midbar, and Rashi says lost means she returned to Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, seems she must have done Teshuvah. She did Teshuvah. Yeah. No. But I will tell you, it's a machlokus. Whether Rashi says that Keturah was the same person as Hagar, the Chizkuni says it's a different person. Yeah. Machlokus. You gotta go. Yeah, don't worry. I'm gonna go. Come. Yeah, I want my finishing as possible.
Yeah, then Tibor, Tzadikim Ben Elim or Rishoyim.
Oh, how interesting. Tzadikim Ben Elim Rishoyim. Wow, that's all your thoughts. That's fantastic. Say it again.
Tzadikim means. Tzibur is composed of Tzadikim, Beinonim, Urashotim.
That's fabulous. I've never heard that. Goodbye.
Why
do
they
often not hear this? I don't know.
Which
assumes is a bad thing. Yeah, I don't know. Catch it on the web. Can I finish off? Yeah? Catch it on the web. You catch the last 5 minutes on the web. Right? Now, a piece of Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon on Habakkuk, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Says as follows. It says that the word tefillah is used in Tehillim a number of times. Here we've got tefillah leDavid. You also have another tefillah leDavid, which is chapter Peivov Pasuk Aleph. You also have tefillah leMoshe, which is chapter Tzadi Pasuk Aleph, and you also have tefillah leOni, which we mentioned earlier, which is chapter Kufbeis Pasuk Aleph. So the Vilna Gaon says, three times we've got this word tefillah. Three different people. One is tefillah leMoshe, two of them is tefillah leDavid, and one of them is tefillah leOni. Says the Vilna Gaon, they correspond to Shachris Mincha Maariv. Tefillah leMoshe corresponds to Shachris. Tefillah leDavid corresponds to Mincha. And tefillah la'oni, an oni, a poor person, that corresponds to Maariv. What's the connection with Maariv? Because Maariv is recited without tzitzis and without tefillin, because it's night time. So that's, you're a bit poverty stricken, because you're without your tzitzis and you're without your tefillin. So it says that's tefillah la'oni. But there's a fourth tefillah, which is Musaf.
These are the expressions they use in tefillin.
Yeah. That's it. Three times, we got the word tefillah three times. One with Moshe, twice with David, and once with Oni. So he says that boils down to three, Moshe, David, and Oni. Three tefillahs, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv. And the Oni is the Maariv because it's without tzitzis and without tefillin. There's another expression of tefillah, and that's in Habakkuk, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, where the Pasuk says there, tefillah la Habakkuk, Hanovi, a tefillah to Habakkuk the prophet, al shigyonos, on mistakes. What are these mistakes? What are we talking about these mistakes? So the Targum says it means if a person does Averis and then he does Teshuvah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept the Teshuvah. If a person does an Averis B'mezid, and then he does Teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will transform the Averis B'mezid into, at least into an Averis B'shogeg. So this is Shigyonos, that if a person does Teshuvah. Rashi says Shigyonos is a reference to mistakes made previously by Habakkuk himself. Because in Habakkuk Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, he almost like seems to give a sort of a rant. Al kein tofug Torah v'lo yetzei lanetzach. He gives a rant that the Rishonim are getting away with their Averis. And he says, because Rishonim are getting away with it, al kein tofug Torah, therefore Torah is weakened or Torah is slackened. And then later on he has a rant against Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar does Averis and gets away with it. And that's in Habakkuk Perek Aleph Pasuk Yudalet. V'atase odom kizagei hayom. Mankind have become like fish. This awful monster, Nebuchadnezzar, can simply pick people off like a human being might go fishing. He can murder people like a human being can kill fish. So Nebuchadnezzar kills people and gets away with it. It was almost like a taina against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are like mistakes that Habakkuk himself made. Comes to Perek Gimel and he says, Tfelo l'Habakkuk al HaShigyonos. Novi al shigyonos on mistakes.
Things I shouldn't have said earlier.
Says the Vilna Gaon. This is sort of. Yeah. Says the Vilna Gaon. This is the fourth mention of tefillah. Yeah, we had the first three in Tehillim corresponding to Shachnis and Nechanat. Here's the fourth one. Fourth one corresponds to Musaf. And because the pasuk finishes with al shigyonos about Averis. He says, therefore, in Musaf on Yom Tov, we say Umit Pnei Chatoenu because of our Averis. That's the key. That's the middle bracha in Musaf on Yom Tov. Umit Pnei Chatoenu. So the Vilna Gaon on that pasuk in Habakkuk, given the pasuk Aleph, says that the Musaf Tefillah corresponds to this fourth mention of Tefillah in Nach Tefillah LaChabakuk. That's how he lands. We'll leave it there. Yeah, we'll leave it there.
Thank you.